In life, a lot of times we can get discouraged, and especially when we're waiting on something. Anybody ever got discouraged while they were waiting? Yeah. Well, our church family's been waiting, come on, to make this move for some time. We've had a lot of setbacks, a lot of delays, unforeseen circumstances, all those good things that you probably experienced in your own life. But what I want to do is I want to stay motivated to do the things that God has called us to do as a church, regardless of what is going on in the world. And I want to speak into that today. I want to speak into your life, because there's a difference in eagerly waiting, come on, and passively waiting. There's a lot of difference in being passive and waiting, because a lot of people think you're supposed to wait on the Lord and just be passive. But the scripture speaks totally different of that. The Bible says we're to be very active with our faith, and we're to be running after something with our faith. In other words, we're brought into God's family to do something with our life and not just sit around in a prayer meeting. I think prayer meetings are awesome. Come on, somebody. We love prayer here at Valorous Church. It's most incredible thing. But God has called us to activate our faith and be eagerly expecting something of Him in the process, to not just sit passively. And so today, I'm going to challenge you a little bit, all right? And I'm going to challenge you to really begin to consider, wherever you're from, to actively get involved in what God is doing in the world. He's doing amazing, amazing things. Listen to this passage of scripture. Hebrews 9, verse 28 says this. It says, so Christ died only once, come on somebody, to take away the sins of many people. Anybody had their sin removed because of Christ's death on the cross? Come on. But when he comes again, slap your neighbor and say, he's coming again. Go ahead and tell him he's coming again. See, forgiveness is awesome, but it says when he comes again, it will not be to take away sin. He's not coming the second time to take away sin. He will come to save everyone who is waiting for him, who is eagerly waiting for his return. And so, man, I hope you're going to be eagerly waiting for his return. I hope today you're eagerly waiting for his return. Oftentimes it feels like that return may be far off. But in reality, we don't know if it's far off or if it's going to be this afternoon. But what God says is he is going to return. He's not going to come back the second time. He came the first time as a suffering servant to forgive human beings, you and me, of our sins. He's coming back the second time. And he's coming back to return to basically put away evil. And he's going to reunite his people. And we're going to live on an amazing journey with him. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, a long, long time ago, as he was speaking to the church at Philippi. He basically says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, we are citizens of heaven. And he says, we are eagerly waiting right now for our Savior's return. Eagerly waiting. Have you ever eagerly waited on something? Probably when you were a kid, it was Christmas time, wasn't it? I mean, you were anticipating that December the 25th was going to get here. You were going to get some amazing gifts on December the 25th. You know, we have a young lady on our staff. Actually, her husband was the one singing up here today, Alex. But Brianna is our children's minister, children's pastor over here next door. I don't know if she's in this service or not. Sometimes she comes in this one, sometimes in the other one. However, she's our children's pastor. And you know what? She's eagerly, her and Alex are eagerly waiting, because they're expecting to give birth to twins. Come on. In the near future. And I know that they're eagerly waiting because everything about their life is about them twins. I mean, a week don't go by I don't hear from Brianna or Grandmama Ann, come on, Granny Annie, come on, about these twins. And again, man, I'm all about the twins, don't get me wrong. But they're eagerly waiting, and their whole life revolves around these flipping twins. And I'm like, that's awesome. But you know what it feels like if you're a parent in the room? Whenever, you know what, you were eagerly waiting the birth of that child. You were expecting something. You were getting everything ready. In other words, you know, and the cool thing about twins, you got to have two of everything. So they had a baby shower. The Twigs threw them a big baby shower. And they invited the whole church because they didn't want to buy anything. They wanted you to give them everything. Come on. But they had to have two of everything. I mean, everything. They must have had, they had more diapers. If you need diapers, I'm just telling you, if you've got young kids, you need diapers, just go to Brianna's house. She's got a whole bedroom full of diapers. And they're eagerly waiting. They're preparing for the birth of these babies. And the Bible says, you know, we as a church family, just as they're eagerly waiting on these twins to come, we're to be eagerly waiting on the return of Christ. Amen. Come on. And I wonder if you're a person that's eagerly waiting or you just passively waiting. And today I believe we're going to study a story that really can begin to give us an inside look into our own heart about whether we're eagerly anticipating the return of Christ or we're kind of passively waiting. See, because whenever Jesus was alive, when he came the first time, and he was walking around with those early disciples, the Bible says that they asked him in Matthew 24, that when was the end of the world going to be? And they ask him this question, and then Jesus begins to answer the question with a few stories. And the story we're going to look at today is in the very next chapter of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 25. And basically what Jesus tells them is, you know what, nobody knows the time or the hour when everything is going to happen. And at that particular time, they didn't know he was coming back a second time. But he was basically speaking into their life and saying, you know, basically quit worrying about when the end's going to be and just eagerly wait on it and do what you're supposed to be doing. Living out your faith. Focusing on what is still to come. I wonder how many people live right now in 2022 and we're sitting here and we're passively waiting on the return of Christ. And what we're doing is we're trying to guess when it's going to be. Is it going to be this year? Is it going to be in 5 years? Is it going to be when that country attacks this country? And what, and we get all worked up about these challenging moments. Whenever our purpose and our destiny and what is still yet to come in the future, the answers to eagerly waiting are all right in front of us this very day, July the 3rd, 2022. And I wonder if we're eagerly waiting on Jesus to return. Let's read the story together. Matthew 25, it begins in verse 14. And Jesus tells this story to the people who ask him the question, when will the end of the world happen? And he says, well, the kingdom of heaven, it can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. It says, he called together his servants, he entrusted his money to them, and while he was gone, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportions to their abilities. In other words, this man that went on the trip, he already knew the abilities that these servants had. And so what he did is he took some of his own resources and he entrusted it. Everybody say entrusted. I wonder what God's entrusted to you. He's entrusted his resources to them while he goes away. Remember, Jesus came the first time as a suffering servant. But he's gone away for a little while, just like the man in this story. The Bible says he then left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earn five more. Everybody say invest. Yes. That's a key word in this passage of scripture. Because if you're eagerly waiting, that means you're actively investing. In other words, you know, you're actively investing in the master's business. And the one who entrusted something to you, you're actively investing in what he is doing. So it goes on to say, he invested it and he earned five more. The servant with the two bags of silver also went to work. Everybody say work. Work. And he earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver, he dug a hole. He dug a hole in the ground and he hid the master's money. After a long time, the master did exactly what he said he was going to do. He returned from his trip. He called them together to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more. And he said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver and I've earned five more. The master was full of praise. Come on. How many of you know that when Jesus returns the second time, as we're eagerly awaiting his return, he is going to be full of some praise for somebody up in this place today. He is going to be full of praise for his family and his people. Oh, I know we're praising the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. I know we're praising the Lord today for his sacrifice on the cross and, you know what, his death, burial, and resurrection. And we should be praising him because he's going to return one day and he's going to set up an unshakable kingdom and it's going to be amazing. And he's going to come back and he's going to be full of praise. He's going to be full of praise. The Bible says the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest and I've earned two more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. Look at your neighbor and say, all you got is a small amount. Go ahead and tell them that. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the one bag of silver said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. I was passive with what you entrusted to me. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, well, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? And at least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and you give it to the one with the five bags of silver. To those, listen to this, to those who use well what they are given, entrusted, even more will be given. That's not talking about in the morning. That's talking about in eternity. Because this story is about a man going on a long trip, which represents Jesus. And Jesus is on a long trip. But he is returning. And he says, whoever uses what little they have now, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. This is one of my most favorite stories in all of Scripture that Jesus tells. Because people oftentimes ask me, what is my purpose, Pastor? And that story right there answers, my friend, if you're a Christ follower, exactly what your purpose is. You're to be an investor in God's kingdom with the gifts that he has entrusted to you. We as a church are to be an investor in God's kingdom as we eagerly await on his return, actively using what he has given us to participate in kingdom work here on earth as it is in heaven. And as we eagerly await, and if we are active effectively using what we have in our hands, there is going to be a big celebration. There's going to be a big party, and it is going to be the most amazing thing you, my friend, have ever experienced in your entire life. It's going to be amazing. But again, God is not looking, you know what, to invest gifts into you so you sit passively on them. Or you bury them in the ground, and when he returns, you go, oh, look what you gave me. I've got it right here. He wants you to know something today, that he put it in you so he could get it through you and multiply something here on earth. God is all about multiplication. God is about multiplying who he is out of humans into other humans and spread and permeate his presence throughout the earth. And the Bible says that there's one spirit that gives all the gifts. One spirit that gives all the gifts. They're diverse gifts, but there's one spirit, and all the gifts are to actively work together for that one purpose of that one spirit. Wow. So I'm asking you today, are you active in kingdom work? Are you passively sitting back week after week, month after month? Or are you expecting, eagerly waiting the Lord's return? Because again, how we know if we're eagerly waiting is we can simply look at this story and we can make some observations by comparing basically the man who hid, passively hid what was in his hand, to those who were active with what was put in their hand. And so I wrote this down in my journal several years ago, but if I'm going to be active in the mission and I'm eagerly waiting on the return of Christ, I got to understand the master's vision. It was expected in this culture where Jesus spoke this story. It was expected that if someone entrusted something to you and you were a servant, that you knew what was entrusted to you was to be leveraged to the best of your ability so that the master could get a return on his investment because he was going to come back. And that master was always going to treat you well. In other words, you were a tool, you were a treasure to the master, but you were also a tool in his arsenal as he's spreading who he is, you know, throughout the earth. And so let's get what Jesus' mission is clear today. He says it this way in Matthew 25, verse 15. He says, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story. Oh, that's what I just read. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the vision. Jesus came and he told his disciples, he says, I have been given authority in heaven and on earth. This is before he ascended back to heaven for the final time. Therefore, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the snapshot. There it is. That's the master's vision. That's what every one of us in this room, if we're Christ followers, should be participating in. Is helping new people, you know what, identify with being a follower of Jesus through public baptism. We're doing those next weekend, okay? And they're identifying that they're a Christ follower, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're teaching all we can, everything that Jesus commanded and asked out of human beings as we're here on earth, in between what we would call the ascension of Christ and the return of Christ. So right now, what we're doing is we're teaching everything that Jesus commanded the church to do. And so we are all to be participating in this and visually, continually talking about the return of Christ. That should be the most exciting thing to anybody in this room, is because the return of Christ is when it's all going to come together. It's when it's all going to be finalized. And again, so many of us sit passively, you know, in a human lifetime. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes, you know, it's maybe 80, 100 years if you get lucky, right? But the reality of it is that's just a drop in the sand to what will be. And what Jesus says is, look, spend your time wisely now. Use what I've given to you in a powerful way. Everybody, listen to me, everybody has the same opportunity. But the reality of it is, you know what? Some people begin to say, well, I don't have the same gift that person has, so I don't have the same opportunity. And this story that Jesus told isn't about equal amounts. It's about equal opportunity. And every Christ follower has the same opportunity. Take what is entrusted to you and begin to invest it in building his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, leverage what has been entrusted to you and do the best you can to make disciples and build up the family of God here on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's vision. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. If you belong to Christ, you have become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ the first time as he forgave our sin on the cross. And God has given us right now the task of reconciling people to him. And so our task is teaching people about Jesus, but we also have to be in the business of not only teaching people about Jesus, but helping them understand that God so desires for them to be reconciled to him through Christ Jesus. In other words, we gotta speak about what Christ came for. He came to forgive sin so that, everybody say so that. It's so vital to the heart of the believer so that people could be reconnected to their creator, to their great God, and get a download from him through his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit puts gifts in you and me so that now we can get back to what God originally created human beings to do, which was to be fruitful, multiply, and permeate his presence throughout the world. And so it's about a connection. It's about reconciling people through Christ Jesus back to God. Christ came for everybody and anybody. Come on. He came to forgive sin of anybody who would so dare believe that he came to die on a cross for them, resurrected from a grave, so that they could have eternal life and life to the full. And so, my friend, we have to share this message, and the Spirit of God works alongside of us. It convicts people's heart. And whenever the Spirit of the Lord convicts people's heart, they have a choice to make a response of faith. We got to share it because our job is to be reconcilers. Come on. Share it. Everywhere you got, leveraging what you have. It's investing. It's being, you know, it's not just sitting and passively waiting, doing what you can do today with what you have. See, I believe also that the reason this one man may have buried his opportunity in the ground is because he was too busy comparing and looking what the master entrusted to the others. See, that oftentimes makes us passive instead of stepping up with what we do have. I mean, the one guy could have said, look, I only got one. He got five. Of course, he can invest. He's got more than I do. But the unique thing about this passage is he had more, but guess what? He invested all. Wow. He was entrusted five, but did you notice that the scripture says he invested all five? In other words, he was all in. And it didn't matter about the amount, whether you had one. In reality, the one with five was all in a lot more than the one with one because he had five and he put them all in. Come on, somebody. And the one with one just held it back and buried it in the ground because he didn't understand that God was maybe for him just like he was for the other one. But the purpose revolved around You know what? Working together and investing the master's gifts so that, you know what, the kingdom could grow. Look what it says there in the passage, Matthew 25, verse 15. It says, he gave 5 bags of silver to the one, 2 bags of silver to another, and the 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on the trip. See, it's up to God to decide what my ability is. What the God-given ability that he's put inside of me. And you know what? My ability is not the same as yours. There is some people with much more, so to say, intellect ability, all those variations of things in this room than I have. But it's okay. I don't care if you're smart. Use your smarts. Do some calculus. Come on, do something. All right? But I got a gift. And I'm going to use my gift to the fullest of its potential. I'm not sitting around comparing my gift to your gift. I'm saying, can we all use our gifts together to build up God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven? God's entrusted me with resources, entrusted you with resources. And honestly, you know, I'm just inviting everybody to see that this is a story about analyzing what God's entrusted to you. I don't know always what your spiritual gift is. We can take you through some classes and some courses and all those various things and do our best to try to help you discover it. But let me tell you, when you actively learn what God has deposited in you, you put it to work, the gift in the local church. Because what God is going to do in the world, he is going to do through his church. The church is Jesus' bride. And the Bible says he is making her holy, set apart to do great things. And maybe he's just waiting for all of us to actively begin to use our gift and participate in the way that he's designed and begin to bring up there down here before he comes swooping in as this amazing bridegroom and swoops up his bride. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Man, I'm waiting for that day. I'm waiting for the return of Christ. I'm expecting it. And honestly, like a good soldier, I don't want any person left behind. No one left behind. I want everybody to experience what God has in store for them. But you know what we have to do is we have to stop comparing ourselves to other people and then just build what God has placed in our hands. Use what we have in our hands to build his kingdom here on earth. You know, I love this story in Mark chapter 12. The Bible says this about Jesus when he was here on earth before, sitting at the temple. It says, Jesus sat down in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. He sat down in the temple near the collection box. And he watched the crowds drop in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. And then a poor widow came and she dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him, called his learners to him, and he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. Jesus was watching. But you see, Jesus could see something that none of us in this room could see. He could see the intentions of the heart. And the Bible goes on to say this, that for they gave a tiny part, it says, of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. In other words, what Jesus says is she's all in. Other words, she's doing what she can with what she has, and she is all in to help do this. These other folks are giving out of their surplus. Though they're giving a lot amount, they're giving out of a surplus. But she's all in. See what God's really looking for? It's people who are all in. eagerly awaiting his return. Now, again, I don't know what that means for you. It may mean something different for you than it means for me. But I have to make a decision what it means, you know, for me to be all in to God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And how do I leverage what I have in order to make a world of difference? And at the same time, I do all the other things necessary in order to stay alive here on earth. And everybody has that decision to make. Every family has that decision to make. We have to decide, you know what, are we going to be about his business, or are we going to, you know, just be about our business? And Jesus, he says, man, you know, he's not worried about the size of her investment. What he was worried about was he was saying, man, I just want people to have the right heart about this all. The next thing I wrote down is I think the two that got the purpose of eagerly awaiting and investing, and the reason the other one didn't, is because the two, the one with the five and with the two bags, they were in right relationship. But I don't know that this other one was in the right relationship because of what he said about the master. See what he said about the master in Matthew 25, verses 24 and 25 is this. The Bible says that the servant, he came with the one bag of silver, and he said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. He goes on to say, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and look, here is your money back. And so what this tells me is that this guy's response to his master was, look, I knew that it all belonged to you, but when you gave it to me, I was afraid to use it because I may lose it, and I was afraid of what you were going to do to me. And the master looks at him and says, you wicked and lazy servant, because really he was saying, you don't understand the heart of your master. And see, I wonder how many of us in here today are investing in the local church, when I say investing, with our time, energy, and resources. Because we're afraid if we don't, what God's gonna do to us. And I wonder how many of us are not doing it, and we just wanna hand it back to the Lord when he gets back and say, God, thank you for saving me. Here I am. Thank you. Take me on to heaven, because I trust you for the forgiveness of sin. And the master's gonna look at you and say, you know what? I didn't forgive you for you to be stagnant. I didn't forgive you for you to be passive. I forgave you so you would understand my incredible love for humanity, and that I'm a God who is for you and not against you. I'm a God that wants to build you up and not tear you down. I'm a God that wants to make deposits in you so I can multiply them through you. I'm a God who wants to do greater things than you could ever imagine, think of, or know in your own spirit. I'm a God of love. I'm a God of grace. I'm a God of building my children up, building my family here on earth as it is in heaven. And see, God wants you to know that today. Because the honest truth, when we step into the right relationship with our good Heavenly Father, when we understand the magnitude of his love and grace and mercy and what he has lavished upon us as human beings, then we respond in a whole different way. In other words, we go, God, I know you're for me. I know you're the Father of lights. I know you're the giver of all good gifts. I know you're the one who I'm not the one producing it. You know what? I couldn't even take in this next breath in my lungs. My heart couldn't even beat another heartbeat without you. And God, I know that you're for your people. I know you're for my friends, my neighbors, my loved ones. I know you're for my children. I know you're for my parents. I know you're for my boss. I know you're for people. And so God, I want to do what I can do while I'm here on earth. I want to live out my purpose. And I want to have a heart that wants people to be reconciled back to you. And God, I want to walk in that purpose alongside of other people. God, I want to see a large church. I want to see a big church. A church that makes disciples and it's overflowing in numbers. No empty seats. Nothing ever. There's lots of people praising you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it would look like if the church would step in and say, it's not about us four, Bob, and no more. It's about the whole community. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's work together. Let's show incredible love to our community. Let's be a people in a people that transforms a people. Let's change people. Let's be the called out ones. Let's live as children of light in the world that so desperately needs light to shine into it and draw them out of the darkness. Let's be the light of the world. Let's not put our light under a basket and hide it. Let's be the salt. Let's be the light. Let's be the flavor. Can you imagine if we woke up eagerly waiting on Jesus' return and we live that way starting tomorrow on July the 4th and see what God could do. Can you imagine? See, my friend, if you're a Christ follower, that's what God's calling you into. He don't want you to waste your opportunity. He wants you to eagerly wait on Him, investing what you have in order to make a kingdom a difference. We're working this thing together. Because God is for us. He is not against us. Let me pray for you today. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's present today. And God, I pray we would be eagerly waiting on your return. God, we would realize that we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of your family, your kingdom. And God, as we eagerly wait on Jesus' return, we'd be actively investing the spiritual gifts that you have placed in our hand. God, I pray that each one of us would take an inventory of what you've put in us and God, how we can partner that with others to spread the good news of who Jesus is throughout the world. And God, I know there's a lot of things vying for our time, our energy, and our resources, but God, I pray for just a moment that we could all focus on you, Jesus. The one who came to forgive humanity of their sin. The one who gave his very life on a cross so that we could be reconciled to our great God. And Jesus, I know in our time frame, it seems like you've been gone a long time. But God, I know that you're coming back. And God, I want to live all the days of my life. And I want to inspire a church for us to live our life in such a way that we're eagerly anticipating what you're going to do in your family as we wait on your return. God, I pray we wouldn't be passive, but God, we would walk in it. And our unique abilities work together to see you do the amazing. Jesus, if there is one here today that has not trusted you for the forgiveness of sin so they could be placed into your family, God, may today be the day that they trust what you did on the cross to forgive their sin. And God, may they believe that you resurrected from a grave to instill in them what it means to live a resurrected life and have the power of the living God in them. And I pray, God, they would join up with your family, your team, and God, they would begin to see you do amazing things in their life and through their life. God, work in us. Give us the faith to stand when nobody else stands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.